grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The key to our parable today in chapter 20 is the last verse. The last verse sums up what Jesus is trying to get across. He says, "So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Many be called, but few chosen. That's the point of the whole parable. Let's begin with the first half. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. What is this saying to us? It's saying that the economy of the kingdom of Christ is entirely different from the economy of this world and of man's religion. You know, man invents for himself gods like they were going out of business. And man loves to create God in man's image. And that's why all of the religions in the world, with the exception of the holy Christian faith, is all about man and what he must do to impress God. And in all of those faiths, God is really nothing more than a big man who reacts to everything the way we little men do. And so, when you're thinking about the church, when you're thinking about the kingdom of Christ and the economy of salvation, everything is different. The householder goes out and he hires men first thing in the morning and then at intervals through the day. And then finally, at the 11th hour, that's 1 hour before quitting time. Right? So that all of these people are hired at different times during the day and they all work different levels of labor. And at the end, he tells his steward, he says, "Listen, have these people all line up for their pay, but begin with the last and then go to the first." So you see all these people standing on line waiting for their pay. And the people hired at an hour before quitting time, they come forward. They don't know what to expect. They only worked 1 hour. But they receive every man a penny. A penny, by the way, the Greek word is a denarius, and that was the standard daily wage for a laborer in the first century AD. So if you were a ditch digger, if you were a laborer, you got paid a denarius a day, and that was enough to feed you and your family and have a little bit left over. So when it says everyone received a penny, all right, it's not literally like we have pennies, you know, that we collect in jars until they're just too heavy, and then we take them to the bank, and the bank guy rolls his eyes. It's not like that. You know, a penny was a whole lot different. So they receive a penny, much to their absolute delight. They never expected to get a full day's pay, but they receive every man a penny. And so it goes throughout the whole list until the guys hired first show up. And these were the guys who haggled. All right? These were the guys who haggled and came to an agreement with the landowner. And they thought, well, if these jerks got a full day's pay, we're going to really hit the bonanza today. And when they came forward, they received every man a penny. And they murmured and they complained and they grumbled about the mistreatment because, and they said, "Well, you have made these last guys who only worked 1 hour, you've made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the day. You see, what these guys didn't understand is that in spiritual matters, that is, in the things concerning salvation and the kingdom of God, the economy is entirely different. It's not about somebody being better or somebody working harder than another. It's not about people being better or more zealous. It is a matter of God's mercy and grace. All right, notice that these guys went out to work after haggling with the guy. Everybody else, the landowner simply says this. He says, go out and work in my vineyard and I'll give you whatever is right. And so everybody except that first group, they went out based on a promise of rightness, a promise of graciousness. They went and they worked all day or part of the day in faith that the landowner was going to do what was right. You see, there is the motivation for Christian service. You and I are not earning God's favor by our discipleship. We have not signed up to be God's day laborers, and that at the end we're going to be rewarded more because we're more faithful or work harder or volunteer for more things. In the kingdom of God, it's all about grace, mercy, and salvation. And this is a free gift. So yes, we are called to labor in the vineyard. We're called to serve in the church. We each have a daily vocation in our life in this world in which we work to the glory of God and to the benefit of our neighbor. But we do these things because the Lord has promised to be right with us. And what that means is that we labor trusting in the goodness, the rightness, and the mercy of the Lord. And we are not thinking that we are better than or that we have done more than anyone else. We are happy to serve the Lord and bless our neighbor because we are the recipients of the opportunities of God's mercy and grace. And this is the economy of the kingdom of God. Any time that we buy into the lie that we can win God's favor by doing good works, you know, and you see this, it roils around inside the heart of every Christian, and at different times in life it springs forth where suddenly we buy into the temptation that we've gotten a bum deal because something didn't go the way we wanted it to go in our life, and we think that God has not kept up his end of the bargain, and we begin to get mad at God, and we begin to stop going to church, and we begin to get a nasty attitude, and before we know it, we've fallen away from Christ altogether and have made ourselves subject to his censure, his judgment, and his wrath. So Jesus, he wants us to understand, first of all, that we are God's children by grace and that we serve in God's grace and that we do not think in any way that we are earning grace, earning favor, earning points with God by our service, but that doesn't mean that we work any less. We are happy to labor in the Lord's kingdom, happy to serve Him, glorify God, and serve our neighbor, because He has been so gracious to us. Now the second half of that verse, verse 16, the second half. Many are called, but few are chosen. All right? Notice, all of the laborers were called to work in the vineyard. They all received the call. The gospel is for all people. Christ died on the cross for all people. Everyone who hears the good news may confidently come to the Lord and not allow anything to hinder them to come to the Lord, because the gospel tells us, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." God wanted to be gracious in our parable today to every last one of those whom He called. And He called them in His grace with a sincere desire for their benefit and their well-being. However, one group of them, by their own fault, missed out. They murmured against the goodman of the house, complaining about God. "These last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal with us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day." And the landowner says, "Friend," and you know, it's kind of funny in the gospel lessons, whenever Jesus calls somebody a friend, it's usually someone who's not a friend. Like Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Calls him friend. And here he says, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?" Now here's the key word. "Take what is thine and go thy way." That, my friends, is the exact opposite of an absolution. Take your penny and get lost, is what he's saying. Take your penny and get lost. All right? Because these people, you see, they were called. And they had every opportunity that God's grace affords. But they persisted in a delusion by their own fault, and so they robbed themselves of the precious treasure of eternal life. And they end up hearing the negative judgment of God against them. "Get out of my sight. All right. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, all throughout their life, they looked like the upright citizens of their community. They looked like the pillars of the church. But because they got the economy of salvation backwards, because they never really understood that it's grace or it's not, they missed out. And by their frustration that God was not playing fair with them, because He blessed other people who weren't as good as they thought they were, right? Because they were jealous of their own position, they hardened their hearts against the grace of God. They persisted in their hard-heartedness. And so, though they were called, they were not chosen. Though they were called, by their own fault, they came to be rejected. They came to be set aside. They came to be among those who are lost. So how do we sum this up today? What this is, and you know, today is Septuagesima, and we're getting ready for Lent. And during Lent, people do things, to kind of heighten their spiritual life. They read the Bible more. They go to church more. I know not here, but, you know, they go to church more. And they may engage in things like fasting and extra prayer and deeper devotion. And the Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima Sundays, what they do is they accentuate the chief ideas of the gospel so that we might go into Lent not with an idea that we're going to merit God's favor by doing these activities. I gave up chocolate for Lent, so by the time Easter comes, God better be good to me. Right? It's that kind of thing that we get into when we start upping our service, and then we begin to be proud of ourselves, and we tell everybody, you know, people are giving up something for Lent, right? So what's the first thing that they do? They tell everyone, I gave up peanuts for Lent, right? I haven't had a peanut in 8 weeks, you know? I just want you to know that I am peanut starved because it's Lent. And by goodness, I'm going to get to Easter peanut free. But when Easter comes, I'm eating peanuts, boy. You know, we get so proud of ourselves. Jesus says, when you fast, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Put makeup on so that you look like you're going to a party. Don't brag about what you're doing. And so the Jessima Sundays, they do this. They accentuate the chief aspects of the gospel so that when we enter into Lent and our Lenten discipline, whatever that may be, we do so with the gospel and the grace of God in the forefront of our minds, which is how we ought to live every day of our lives. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.